Scripture passage, it's a pretty short one, taken from Luke chapter 5, verses 17 to 20. Okay. One day, Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." This is the word of the Lord. Okay, you guys remember this story from Sunday school? Right? Like this paralyzed man on a mat, his friends, like, they go, the room is so crowded, oh no, we can't get in. So they go on the roof, kind of cut a hole, and then you see the rope, right? Like a mat being lowered down. I mean, we all learned this in Sunday school, right? But, you know, let's now that we're in high C, let's think about what this means for us, okay? You know, the title is today is A Community That Enables Healing. So maybe that should offer a little clue, right? So let's I want to explain what it meant to be paralyzed in this time of Jesus, okay? I mean, nowadays, if someone's paralyzed, it's okay. I mean, we understand there's many different reasons, okay? But this is a Jewish society, okay? If you had some kind of condition, like being paralyzed or whatever, it kind of meant that you or your parents had committed a grave sin, and this is kind of punishment, okay? So that's kind of how people saw these conditions. And the Jewish people, they were supposed to be what, set apart and be a holy people, right? So if you had this kind of permanent mark of sin, it meant that, you know, you couldn't be a part of this holy people. So you were separated, okay? So what was the result? They were isolated socially too. Spiritually, they were separated, and socially too, they were no longer part of the community, okay? So think about that. Remember the retreat, I said, what's the worst form of punishment for a human being? Yeah, solitary confinement, to be isolated, right? When we're isolated, that's the worst thing for a human being. God created us to be together in community, right? We need each other, but if we're isolated. So that was the condition of this person. And I was thinking about it. I mean, we tend to do that so much with each other in this world. We apply so back then it was like, you're paralytic, so meaning you're a sinner. That was the label that separated him. And what labels do we have in this day and age? We have, I don't know, okay, broader society, there's labels like terrorist or illegal immigrant or, you know, these are kind of some labels or Muslim or something, things like that we use to separate you from me, right? You are not part of us because of this label. Or more socially in your settings, I don't know, it could be things like that person is weird or awkward. Or, I don't know, loser, whatever, right? Labels that separates that person from me, right? So we do that to each other. And by doing that, we isolate, right? We isolate one another. And that form of isolation, what does that do? It makes us kind of withdraw, doesn't it? Sometimes if we feel isolated, we withdraw and we want to not think about it. So we distract the real hurt by playing video games, maybe watching shows, YouTube, listening to K-pop, whatever, right? Get our minds off of the real condition of isolation, right? That's why at a March break retreat, our theme was from isolation to connectedness. So this passage is really illuminating in many ways. So here's a man, actually, it's a good example because literally he couldn't move, right? He was paralyzed. So physically he couldn't move, but also socially, by himself, he was isolated, he could do nothing. And so he couldn't get any healing all by himself. So what did he need? He needed friends, right? He needed friends. So let's go to the next slide. So it's verse 18 there. Let's go back. Yeah, so they came carrying the man, okay? So first it took a community of people who cared about him, who was willing to say, hey, let's try to get you healed. Okay, and the next slide. And then what happened? When they went, there were obstacles, right? A crowd. They couldn't get in. Okay? And normally for us, that's kind of it then, right? Oh, okay, it's too bad, we can't get in. But what did they do? They said, no, we're determined to help our friend here, right? We're going to go up on the roof. And so can you imagine that?
like, there's all these people about, isn't that kind of embarrassing to like do something like that? Go up on a roof and try to lower, like, I don't know. I would normally be too self-conscious, right? I was like, people are going to look at me funny and whatever. But you know what? That didn't matter to these people, these friends. There's like, we're going to do whatever it takes to help our friend. Right? That's the kind of effort they took. And here's the key. When Jesus saw their faith, see? So nothing about the paralyzed person himself. When Jesus saw the faith of their friends, that's something weird. And then he healed the man. That's very interesting, isn't it? He saw the faith of their friends, and then he healed the man. So there's a few lessons I draw from this. Number one is, all of us, we need community, okay? We need friends and we need community. We can't go through life and a spiritual journey and just life in general alone. Whoever thinks that they can do that, I think we're deceiving ourselves, right? We're not meant to be alone. We can't. We're like, there's that phrase, no man is an island, right? We can try for a while because that might be feel safer, but at the end of the day, we're not going to grow. So we need a community, right? But here's the key. When he saw their faith. It's not us, though, that will actually heal our friend. You know, if our friend is hurting, sometimes I think it's up to me. I have to kind of comfort and I have to provide the healing for this friend, right? But here's the lesson, too. Friends, what we do is we offer support and we encouragement, love, and we do whatever it takes to love our friend, but we're not going to be the ones that bring healing. So we ultimately bring that person to God, okay, with our faith. And then Jesus, you know, here in this story, God brings the healing. Okay, that's very interesting insight. So we love our friend as much as possible, do what we can, but God brings the healing. Okay? And I think that makes sense because, you know what? I mean, we felt it too. When we feel loved in a community, that opens our own hearts up, doesn't it? You know, I might have been withdrawn, but when I feel love from a friend, then I kind of change myself. And that opens us up for God to come in. There's a real magic to that. Okay? It's a really amazing process. Okay? So, and here's the second lesson. Okay, so all of us, I know all of us, we all have our own kind of issues and our own brokenness, right? Our own vulnerabilities and worries. But when we've had that encounter with God, we're transformed. And then what's next? We are called to do the same and go out and love others. Okay, so here is our calling, okay? I mean, a lot of us are thinking, well, what am I supposed to do with my life? Yeah, we're thinking in terms of specific things like career and whatnot, okay? But in terms of our life calling as a person, as a human being, we are called to be this kind of friend, okay, for others, for those who are isolated and lonely. See, our calling as Christians, it's not to be popular or it's not to be like famous or all this stuff. Our calling really is to be this kind of friend for those around us. Think about it at your school too. Like if you really think about it, see some of the execs were talking. Like sometimes there'll be people who act weird or who behave like awkwardly or who act up. But you know what? Most often, it's because there's something else going on, isn't it? Some issues at home, maybe some brokenness, bad experiences they had, abuse they face. Who knows, right? So they might be isolated. And this is kind of their cry for like help in a way. Like, I'm isolated. So for us, our calling is to be sensitive to that, right? So first, I mean, we ourselves need a community because we can't do it alone, right? So we need that help. And then God comes and heals us. And because I'm so grateful for this encounter, I'm now sensitive to others who might be isolated. You guys get that? There's a flow to it. I need community because I need healing. With the help of community, God touches me. Now that I'm touched by God, okay, I do the same. I'm attuned in the hallways. If someone's lonely, why is this person lonely? We talked about at the summer retreat comfort zones. It's really hard to break out of just hanging out with my own friends, but that's a bold calling for us. Okay, it's a bold calling. Okay, so I mean, let God speak to you. Okay, be sensitive. Okay, maybe God is telling me, okay, I need to see how this person's doing. Or it could even be someone you know, right? But like, hey, what's going on? How are you doing? Right? That's our calling, guys. To love those around us. Because by loving those around us, their hearts too might be open so that God can touch and heal them. And that's such good news. This is why though, why we pray. You know, sometimes you might think, why do we come to church? Why do we pray? That's what prayer is, Kate. What prayer is you know, we're in a circle. We try to trust those around us. We share our vulnerabilities, right? And then as we pray, we bring them before God, right? And so that God can come in and heal us. That's why we pray, guys. Just so that we can support one another and that God can come bring the healing. So during this Thanksgiving weekend, okay, let's really be thankful for this community that we have. Okay, let's let this community be one where we can really genuinely, sincerely love and support one another. Be these kind of friends who will do whatever it takes to bring each other before God for healing. And when we've had our own encounter, let's go out too and also be those kind of people. Amen. Amen. So let's pray together.